train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not what? Depart from it. So I have to train you how to solve problems. You know, I have a principle that I say to my staff all the time. I have a principle I've said to my kids all the time, and that's never take first answers. If you don't get the answer the first time, ask again. If that person can't answer you, ask somebody, ask their boss. If that boss can't answer you, ask the owner of the company. But you keep going until you get the answer, because there is an answer, and you've got to train someone to know you've got to go for the right answer. Don't let the world run over you because they just want to tell you something to make you go away. You train up a child, but we cannot create strong-minded, strong-willed young adults if we rescue them every time. Sometimes a little struggle is good for us. The Bible says the Lord chastens those he loves. Now, on that note, I'll tell you, I've never whipped my kids. I know you're probably looking at me with two eyes on you. What? The redhead has, so they got plenty of that. All right, So she believed in that. I believed in it too, but I just couldn't do it because I had all daughters. I think I'd have whipped the daylights out of boys, but I just didn't have any boys. And I just said, I can't whip these girls, so I'd always send them to their mama. That was not fair to Faith, and it was not fair to them, but they would rather get punishment from her any day of the week from me because I drug it out. I made them memorize scriptures. I know. It's terrible, isn't it? I would do things like, now you got to pull all the weeds in the garden. And I would make them go outside and pull all the weeds from the flower bed. And they would say, Dad, just send us to Mom. It'll be over in 2 minutes. Please. They did not like my discipline because I drug it out because I couldn't whip them. But I did chastise them. I just couldn't whip them because they were little girls and I was a big guy and I just didn't want to hurt them. But so anyway, that's how we did it. You train them up. So the teacher teaches them to solve their own problems. Finally, the teacher teaches them how to respect others. How many of you were taught how to respect others from your parents and grandparents? And how did they do that? They did that with a stern hand. If they ever caught you, anybody remember disrespecting someone and how you got treated? They didn't wait till you got home and make you stand in a corner. There was no time out in my generation. No, that was the seat of understanding, the applying the Board of Education to the seat of understanding. That's what my generation got. So that's how we learned, and we learned real quick. All you need to be is lifted up a couple times with a paddle, and you'll learn really, really fast. And that's how they taught us. But we were taught to respect older people. We were taught to respect men. We're taught to respect women. We were taught to respect all the people in the church, the ministers, the pastors. We were taught to respect the policemen. We were taught to respect the teachers in our school and the principals in our school. And sometimes with the news I'm hearing, I'm wondering, who's teaching that anymore? Well, I want to tell you, don't wait on the school to have to go to the Supreme Court to make your child understand that they need to be respecting their teacher. Don't wait on the president to try to draw this out and pass some kind of law, because you cannot bring little Johnny and little Jane over in the corner and say, the next time you do that and you come home, you're going to deal with me too, because no child of mine is going to be disrespecting the people who are sacrificing to give you an education. What has ever happened to that kind of language? That's not being mean. That's being a parent. So let's look at one thing that I want you to look at before we leave the teacher and go to the next one, go to the soldier. There's this terminology that we use because the Bible uses a terminology that we call the man being the head of the house. Listen to this, Ephesians 5. This is what head of the house looks like. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. So here's the rules for that. So, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. I don't know if that one made it to the screens, but that's the rest of that verse. He gave himself up for it. Now understand this. The word head of the wife or head of the house does not mean boss of the house. It means teacher of the house. Now, in Hebrew, you have the word Rosh, which is Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, right? So it's the beginning of something. So this is the head, this is the Rosh. This is the beginning of the fountain. Now, I lived in Missouri for many, many years, and we were proud of the big Mississippi River. But what's interesting is you can follow that stream all the way up to Minnesota to where it starts. And the head of the Mississippi River is a tiny little spring in Minnesota that begins those tributaries, making that mighty river that flows all the way down to the ocean. And it's interesting, when you see the head of something, it means the beginning of something, the fountain of something. So being the head of the house doesn't mean I'm in charge. That's not what it means. Being the head of the house doesn't mean you do what I say. Being the head of the house means I am the teacher here. I am going to set the standard of how men treat women. I'm going to set the standard of how we treat children. I'm going to set the standard of how we love God. I'm going to set the standard of how this family functions. You're going to hear me pray. You're going to watch me read my Bible. You're going to hear me call upon God. And when you're sick, I will get out the oil. I will put it on your head. I will pray the prayer of faith. As the head of this house, I'm going to show you how we serve God and how we love and serve one another.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
All right, so he says the first portrait of the man is the teacher. So here's the next portrait. You therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him. So you may not have paid much attention to this, but we start training our young men to protect from the time they're born. Now, what does a soldier do? A soldier protects you. He fights for you. Any man worth his salt will fight for you. That's right. Any man worth his salt will fight for you and fight with you. You might have noticed this, but we don't give boys the same kind of toys we give girls. As a little bitty boy, we start giving boys things like guns and trucks and footballs. And you know what we're saying to that little boy when they were just barely learning to walk? You got to be faster. You got to be competitive. You got to learn how to shoot. You got to learn how to protect. And you got to drive that truck, because you're going to be working the rest of your life. That's what we're telling him. Now, what are we saying here to these girls? We give them baby dolls and kitchenettes. You're going to be domestic. You're going to be loving. You're going to be, you know, we little girls walk around singing little songs to baby dolls. Little boys walk around shooting their best friends. That's what we do. We're hiding. I mean, while the girls are in there playing, you know, house, the boys are outside tackling each other with a football, knocking each other down the ground and wrestling and boxing, because we're training them from a child to learn how to be a man. That's one of the rites of passages. And as a man, you grow up, you realize that you have this responsibility to protect everything you love. Any man worth his salt is going to protect you. So a soldier, according to this passage that we just read in 2 Timothy, has two responsibilities: endure and protect. I have to endure and I have to protect. I was asked to speak at a men's conference a few years ago down in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Now, I don't know, I'm doubt if many of you guys know who the pastor is down there, Kent Miller. He's been there for a long time. And he has the toughest sons in the world. I think all of testosterone, I think their whole bloodstream is filled with testosterone. These boys have created their, they've created this nature series where they go into bear caves at night and film bears hibernating. I mean, these guys are fierce. I mean, I've never met boys. He's got three boys, and one's as tough as the next one. They do the craziest things in the world. When they fish, they don't fish like we fish. You know, we throw out a rod with a worm on there. No, they stick their arms underneath the banks, and they let fish bite their arms, and they pull out these huge catfish, and the bait is their arm. They're hanging over the side of the boat, and these catfish bite their arms because they're so, they don't want one that can't swallow their arm. And then they pull that thing out into the boat and shake it off after it bit their arm. That's another level of manhood, people, I'm telling you. That's another level. These guys invited me to their camper to go camping with them, but it's not like any camping you've ever done. They have turned an old school bus into a camper, and when it gets hot at night, they get out of the school bus because of the mosquitoes, and they go lay in the water in the river at night to stay cool. And in the morning when the sun comes up, in that same creek or that same river, they shoot snakes all day long. That's why they go to the river. And they will kill 100 to 200 snakes every day when they go out. And at night, they're laying in there to keep cool with those things all around them. Another level, people, another level. When he asked me to speak at a men's conference, I'm thinking, why? Why me? I don't even know if I'm the same level of man you guys are. You know, I work behind a desk. Do you know who I am? You're wanting me to come down there to Poplar Bluff? I mean, my goodness, that's He-Man country. So I go down there, and I'm really nervous because I know Kent, and I know all of his sons. And lo and behold, if the person that spoke before me was not a SEAL team member, it's like I have to deal with the Miller boys and a SEAL team guy. So they got up and did all their axe throwing and all of this, and now I get this SEAL team guy gets up there, and this is what he talks about. He talks about endurance. And he tells about the training he went through as a SEAL team member to rescue and save people. And he had the whole room captivated because it seemed impossible. The kind of rituals he put his body through, the kind of exercises he put his body through seemed absolutely insufferable. But this guy was, he looked like a tank. And the guy, I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but I had to speak right after him, and I was shaking in my boots, people, because I didn't have anything like that to give. I don't catch catfish with my arms. I don't do any of those things that they do. I don't film bears hibernating in the cave. I don't do any of those things, but I get up there and I preach the gospel, and I got to tell you, the first guy to hit that altar was that SEAL team member. And when they saw that big Marine come down there, that big SEAL team member come down and pray, that whole room filled in. The whole place came to the Lord that day and came to the altar because he set a great example. And I'll never forget how this guy talked about the things he put his body through, the things he put his mind through, because he realized that as a soldier, he had to endure. Well, you may not get up and, you know, you may not be running the 26K marathons, and you may not be doing some of the things that other people are doing, but I can tell you, as a man, God calls you to endure. God calls you to be tough. I think men ought to fight for the things they love. I think men ought to stand up. I think that men ought to be strong. I think that men ought to set good examples to our children. I think that men ought to love women. I think that men ought to be treating their wives with great respect. I think that we can change a nation if men would just act like men instead of these boys finding their mentors or their identities in other places besides manhood. No, we were born with guns and trucks and hammers in our hands. And we're supposed to be that for the not just for the kingdom of God, for our family. Endurance relates to sufferance, forbearance, resilience, fortitude, persistence, tenacity, steadfastness, perseverance, stamina, hardiness. That's a man. That's what a man, we're made to wear hard hats and gloves. We're made for that. I'm not telling you that women can't do hard work either. I'm not here to talk about women. We did that last week, and I brought a woman in to do that. And she did a great job, by the way. She nailed it last week. But I'm here to talk about men tonight. So I'm not, don't read into this that I don't think that women are as good as men. Don't read into all that. I'm telling you what I think a man should be, and I think real men should be tough. I think real men should be hardworking. I don't have any appreciation for a lazy man. I don't have any appreciation for a man that will sit and scroll and surf on a TV while their family does all the work around them and somebody else pays the bills. I don't have any use for a man that sits and plays games all day long and all night long and won't work a job and lets other people support them. What is wrong with people who think that is manhood? Men are tougher than that. We're stronger than that. We're supposed to be mightier than that. God has not just called us to be teachers. God has called us to be soldiers. And as soldiers, we must endure and we must protect. We must drag people from the battlefields of life. We must nurture people in the trenches of life. We must do what every soldier has been called upon. Go to the front lines, fight the battles, and bring people home safely, whatever the cost may be. You see, protection isn't about dominance. Protection is about service. Protection isn't about being stronger than other people. It's about being willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.